passages of Scripture. One you can quote with me, the other I'd like to read with you, Philippians chapter number 4. Amen. If you'll stand this morning as we get into the Word of the Lord, Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. But if you remember a few weeks ago, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. How many feel like peace is a valuable possession, commodity in the world in which we live? Peace. Today I'd like to talk to you about peace when the pressure is on. Amen. I'm glad I have peace in the Lord. Aren't you? Amen. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. It's in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know of any other promise that is so black and white in God's Word, which is so clearly explained. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall. Somebody say shall. I like shall, not might be. I hope it does. I think it might. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you today as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Those texts that I've read for you today, the one especially in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, is preceded by a list of the works of the flesh. Notice these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Guilty of any of those, please stand. No, I didn't think, even if you are, you know, if you do all that, you lie, you won't get up and confess it, I promise you that. A lot of times we judge our spiritual condition by the absence of these things because we don't have any works of the flesh. But notice that's not the end of Paul's conversation. Not only did Paul detail for us the works of the flesh, but then he turned around and he told us the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not only those things that are absent in our life, and as a child of God, certainly the works of the flesh should be absent from our life, but it's not just what is absent, but it is what is present in our life. There are moral people that I know that don't have a lot of the works of the flesh listed in their life, just because of the way they were born and the conservative raising and heritage they have. They don't have a lot of the works of the flesh in their life. Doesn't make them saved, doesn't make them any more spiritual. So it's not just the absence of the works of the flesh, but it is also the presence of the Spirit of God and the graces of God in our life that begins to validate our walk with God. Notice it is the fruit of the Spirit. This is not something that you can do for yourself. As I preach about peace today, I looked on Amazon. There are over 100,000 books on peace. And the vast majority of them is about 7 steps to greater peace, 52 steps to inner peace, 69 steps to better peace, 5,000 steps to world peace, all kinds of steps, but it's all about what me and you do to obtain peace. But notice my text today said it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is not something that I can produce. It is not something that I myself can train myself to exhibit in my life. But on the contrary, I must throw myself on the altar of God's mercy and allow His Spirit into my life. And the more His Spirit invades and fills my life, then I shall have the peace of God. It was William Barclay that said, "The tranquil serenity of heart which comes of the all-pervading consciousness that our times are in the hands of God is peace." Peace, it is that Greek word Irene, which interesting enough that many in the first 300 years of Christendom, many of the saints began to be named Irene because of the peace of God that seemed to envelop their life. It is peace that is that calm of mind, that it cannot be ruffled by adversity. It is not overclouded by a remorseful conscience, nor is it disturbed by fear. It is the peace of God. And there's a few things I want to talk to you about the peace of God. My text today said it is a peace of God that passeth all understanding. You've heard me talk quickly about in times past about that passeth all understanding, and let me refresh our minds about that. And simply, it is a nautical term to where they would take a ship out and send sounds down to the bottom of the ocean and would judge the time by the sound bouncing off the ocean floor, and they would estimate how deep the water was at that point. It might be 6 fathoms, it might be 10 fathoms. As they went on out, maybe 50 fathoms, maybe 80 fathoms. It would come to such a point in the ocean that they did not have the instrumentation to measure the depths of the ocean. At that point, they would mark in the ocean that beyond that, it is fathomless. That we don't know how deep that it is, but it is fathomless. It is not 10 fathoms. It is not 30 fathoms. It is fathomless. And so Paul, talking about the peace of God in our lives, he used that same nautical term. He said that it is fathomless. What is he talking about? He's telling us that in life, that when the peace of God is in your heart and the ship of life sails out and things begin to come your way, that if the grace of God was only 10 fathoms deep, at some point in time life would overtake you. That if it was only 30 fathoms, that at some point in time life would deal you such a blow that the grace and the mercy of God could not cover you. But Paul said the peace of God, it passes all understanding. It is fathomless. Or that you'll never get somewhere in life. That you'll never have a day in life. That you'll never have an event in life. That you'll never have any turmoil in life where the peace of God cannot keep you and guard you and protect you. Hey, but aren't you glad for the peace of God today? It is the peace of God. It is a definite peace. It is a deep peace because it is fathomless. But notice Paul said that it will guard your heart and your mind. I'm glad for the peace of God today. Amen. Thank God that it will guard our mind and it will guard our heart, that in the troubled seas of life, amen, when the pressure of life, amen, and the pressure of life will come, but when it does come, amen, there is the undergirding of peace. Thank God that when life seems to keep adding pressure to us, 5 pounds and 5 pounds and more and more and more, that it feels like that maybe the weight of life may just kind of take you under. It is the peace of God. It is the peace of God in the troubled times of life. Amen. To where I know, as the songwriter said, I have somebody with me. Amen. I know that I have the peace of God, number one. But number two, it is exclusively through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear me today. Amen. If you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, you cannot nor do you have peace in your life. You might have the absence of turmoil. You might have the prosperity of a few things, but you do not have peace. Peace only comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. John 16 and 33, Jesus said, "In me ye might have peace." Acts 10 and 36 said they were preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 14 says, "He is our peace." Hallelujah. That if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I love what Romans 5 and 1 says, that being justified, amen, justified, anybody been justified by the grace of God? Amen. Being justified, we have peace with God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I remember what it was like to be condemned in the spirit. I know what it was like to be condemned in the flesh, to fear the judgment of God, to fear the coming of the Lord, thinking I might die lost and go to hell. I remember the turmoil of conviction in my life. Amen. I remember the unsettling of being outside of the ark of safety. But oh, I also know the joy of salvation. I also know what it's like to go to the altar and be washed in the ruby red blood of Jesus and say with Paul, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Oh, hallelujah. I say thank God for the peace of God. Amen. Peace in my mind and peace in my heart. And it comes through Jesus Christ. And let me say, I believe that we've become a society that has turned to prescriptions. We've been a society that has turned to pills and bottles. We've been a society that runs to the doctor. Amen. You know, you hardly can find a middle-aged person that isn't on some kind of antidepressant. Amen. They can't believe that you're going through life. You say, "I need to be well." No, you don't. Amen. You just need a trip to the altar. Amen. They can't believe that you can go through life and not be on some kind of narcotic to take the edge off. I know what I'm talking about. I deal with a lot of people outside of the church. The vast majority, I'd say near over 50%, are on some kind of antidepressant, learning how to deal with stress of raising children, the stress of being married, the stress of getting older, the stress of retiring, the stress of fear not having enough retirement, the stress of getting old and dying, all kinds of stress, and we run to the doctor. Doctor gives us a pill, and we walk through life like a zombie. Yet he took the edge off. He took the life right out of you. I said he took it right out of you. I've got an aunt that has spent the vast majority of her adult life hooked on prescription drugs. She can't remember most of her life. Lived in a zombie state. I got news for you, friend. When you go to Jesus Christ and his blood cleanses you from all sin and the peace of God invades your life, I'm not trying to discredit science, but I am telling you this, that we become a nation that is hooked on the bottle. We've been hooked on prescriptions, hooked on all kinds of addictions, when really the absence is that our heart cries out for God. Our heart cries out for the Spirit of God. Our heart cries out for a relationship with something greater than ourselves, and it is God. I said, oh, when I found Jesus, I said, when I found the Lord, when I found the Son of God, I've got joy, I've got love, but thank God I've got peace. I said, the world is looking for peace. They're searching the world over. That's why the fads are always changing. That's why the technology is always changing. They're on a pursuit. They're grabbing. They're trying to find something that when they lay down at night, they can say, "I have found that which my soul loveth." But oh, this world is passing away. It is Jesus. I said, it's Jesus, and he is our peace. Are you glad for the peace of God you have in the Lord today? Why don't you lift up your hands and give him praise and glory? Hallelujah. 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 Be Being justified, we have peace with God. The peace of God passes all understanding. It is exclusive through Jesus Christ. Number three, it is able to govern your life. Colossians 3 and 15, notice what Paul said concerning the peace of God. It shall rule your hearts. The Greek word means to govern or to umpire. The peace of God will rule your heart. I sat across the other day from a couple and dealing with an issue, and they're not here today, so don't look around and try to find them. But really, she needed peace in her mind. And if this platform was her mind, here's what she was doing. Come here for a second, Doubt. Mr. Doubt, go on up there. Come here, Mr. Worry. Come on in. Come on, Mr. Fear. Come on, Mr. Loneliness. She's letting all that in her mind. Now I want you to start jumping around, running around, making a bunch of noise. Don't act like Baptists. Act like Pentecostals. Oh, Brother Morey got some Indian blood in him, don't he? Hubba, 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 hubba. Keep going. She was sitting down and said, I don't know why I don't have peace with God. Well, I know. She had let doubt, she had let worry, she had let fear, she had let all that thing, those things in her mind, and they all wore out yet. You're going to need a prescription. Amen. Go sit down. If you keep going, if you want, I don't care. Not making me nervous, maybe them, but not me. I love it. Amen. But she had all this in her mind, and she said, I can't find the peace of God. Well, I'll tell you why. Because she was not allowing the peace of God to rule her life. When doubt come up, she didn't resist it in the name of Jesus Christ. She just let doubt come in. And before long, well, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I ever got saved. I don't know if Jesus is the Christ. I don't even know if God's word is the real word of God. And before long, doubt was filling her life. Then fear jumped in. And fear said, you better be scared of the dark. You got to be, something's going to happen to you. You're going to get killed in an accident. You're going to die of fear, just all kinds. And then all of a sudden said, well, I want peace. Well, Paul said, the peace of God will govern our life. And so this morning, I'm the umpire, all right? Either get in or get out by my word. Amen. So he tries to come back. But this time, the peace of God says that there is no room for you up here. But peace is now governing. When worry and fear and doubt comes, there's no place for you in her mind. The peace of God rules and says doubt and worry and fear, it is not going to be here. But the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Oh, thank God this morning. I said thank God for the power in the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ saved you, he saved you from your sins. He cleansed you and wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But he also saved your mind. It's your mind. And you don't have to let the devil take roughshod. You don't have to let fear and doubt and envy and strife and worry take authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let peace be the umpire. Let it govern your life. Is God not running the show? If God is running the show, and I am his property, then I'm just going to let him keep me. Hallelujah. I'm just going to let him keep me. But if you just allow your mind open access, that's why some of you have trouble. You know what I told her? You've got to bring into captivity . So let's go one step further. You guys are going to get wore out. I'll share my offering with you today if I get one. Come on. Not only do we reject, but he said bringing into captivity every imagination
that aught exalteth itself against the excellency of Jesus Christ. So not only do I resist them, but I have to subdue them. I have to take authority. I have to capture them. I have to bring them down into captivity through the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish I could preach. Amen. I wish to God we could wrap our minds around the victory of God that He wants in our life. That we don't have to be perplexed. That we don't have to be assaulted. That we don't have to live in fear and worry. And strife, but we can live in the peace of God, knowing that I'm saved and washed, and I've been cleansed, I've been brought out, I've been sanctified and separated. So, in all reality, these four creatures, critters, they're going to stop by your life this week. So, just kind of walk around sanctuary, see if you see somebody's acceptable. They're going to come by your life this week. You going to let them in? Are you going to let worry in? Oh, I'm not talking about not being planned or any kind of. I'm not. But the Bible did say, take no thought for tomorrow. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing. You going to let them in? You letting fear in this week? You letting worry in this week? What about the peace of God? What about the peace of God? What about the peace of God? What about God taking care of me? What about me being the property of Jesus Christ? What about me being covered by the blood? What about me being set free? What about me being sanctified? What about me being filled with the Spirit of God? I'm not talking about the absence of the works of the flesh. We passed that up a long time ago. There's a new standard, and it is the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm needing peace in my life. And peace comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And the Spirit and the grace of God, He is able. I said He is able to govern me. Oh, hallelujah. The peace of God shall rule. He shall rule our heart. But not just that. Let me give you one more passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter number 5, in verse number 23. It's the verse where it says, He shall sanctify your spirit, your soul, and your body. Somebody say, spirit, soul, and body. But notice how he introduces himself in that verse. And the God of peace sanctify you wholly. I said the God of peace. So if you want the peace of God, there's a few things we know about the peace of God. It is and will pass all understanding. It is exclusively found in Jesus Christ. It is able to govern, but it is also connected to sanctification. If you live an unsanctified life, you're not going to have the peace of God. You're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. The God of peace. Oh, I want peace. I want peace. Well, I'll tell you how to do it then. Let God sanctify your spirit, your soul, and your body. You can't go out dancing with the devil on Saturday night, go home and sleep like a baby with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You're not going to do it. You've allowed the devil and the imps of hell into your life. And when they come into your life, they bring turmoil, conviction, and they are the complete opposite to the peace of God. You say, oh, I need peace in my mind. Well, maybe you need to be sanctified in your mind. What are you thinking about? What are you pondering on? Well, I need peace in my heart. Well, if God completely sanctifies your heart, bless your heart, you ought to have the peace of God. I said you'll have the peace of God if you let God sanctify your heart. But if you have an unsanctified heart, you're not going to have the peace of God. You're just not going to do it. it. So we got a lot of folks that we're trying to cast out things, that we're trying to rebuke spells, we're trying to take authority over it, and the problem is they're living an unsanctified life. They haven't been listening to the right things. They've not been going the right places. They've not been doing the right things, and they've got an unsanctified life, and there's no way that sweet and bitter water come out of the same fountain. You've got to live holy and sanctified before God. Hallelujah. Sanctified. What does sanctification mean? It simply means to be cleansed of all of the world and filled with the Spirit of God. So if I'm not completely emptied of the world, I have not been sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, just Doc, write me out something. Give me a little something to help me. Boss, just give me this. Give me. Well, if I could just, I'm miserable like I am, but if I could get married, oh, it'd all be better. Oh, if I wouldn't have married this one. Oh, somehow God in your infinite wisdom, if I could get it different. Unsanctified. Unsanctified. But when we're sanctified in our spirit, let me ask you this question right here. If I'm sanctified in my spirit, my soul, and my body, where's the devil got left to work? He don't. I said he don't. How many want the peace of God in your life? Hallelujah. But it is the fruit of the Spirit. And I really felt impressed to share that with you. You say, well, that's real deep. Well, I understand. But it's not something you can do. It's not something you can work it out on your own. You can't just do it. You've got to yield. You've got to give over. You've got to say, Lord, I'm yours. And allow the Spirit of God. As the Spirit of God comes in, He brings peace. Over 100,000 books on Amazon, and most of them, what I can do. But if I can do it, I can undo it. And if I did it, then something is greater that can conquer it. But I need a peace that comes from God that will surpass anything in this world. I need a peace that will withstand that when you go to the doctor and get a bad doctor's report. I need a peace of God that will be there to sustain me. I need a peace of God that when you go in to get the sonogram and they can't find a heartbeat with the baby, that the peace of God is right there. I need a peace of God that when you're going to the graveside and you feel like you're going to die, I feel the peace of God rise up and let me know I'm still a child of God and He's with me and He's never going to forsake me. But when I go in and I put all my junk in a box and they say you're no longer needed here, and I walk out of that office that I've been there 20 years, I need a peace of God that'll tell me I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I've never failed you. I've never let you down. I'm going to provide. I'm your El Shaddai. I'm your Jehovah Jireh. I am your friend. I am your shield and your buckler. You need me more than you need your boss. You need me more than you need anything else. I am everything you need. Lastly, Jesus said in John 14 and 27, my peace. My peace give I unto you. Well, that's great. But in John 16, Jesus said, I'm going away. Brother Mike, we take a trip, me and Beth, years ago when the kids were little. We'd say, we're going to go away for a couple days. Their question was always, "Who, when you coming back?" And Where are we going? Who's taking care of us? Well, in John 14, Jesus says, I'm going away. And the disciples start getting worried. Well, Jesus, if you're going away, who's going to take care of us? Well, in John 16, Jesus said, it is expedient for me, or expedient for you, that I go away. Because when I go away, I will send the Comforter. Well, why was it more important for Jesus to tell us we need the Holy Ghost than we need him? Well, Jesus said, my peace give I unto you. Jesus said, I have been with you, and I have been your peace. But when the Holy Ghost comes, it will not be peace by you, alongside of you, but rather it will be peace in you. Hallelujah. The preposition changes. And said, Jesus said, I have been your peace. I have been all alongside of you. I have been with you. I have been your peace. But I am going away. And when I go away, I am sending a Comforter, and he shall be in you. Can I preach to you today about a peace that is inside of every one of us? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Last Sunday morning when Sheila and Bo were up here, amen, you know what I was praying? I was praying for the peace of God. Amen. I was praying, God, come down and let the peace of God rule their lives. Because the devil's out to get every last one of us. I said, the devil's out to take every soul that he can and to hell. But oh, friend, I said, there's a peace that comes in Jesus Christ. There's a peace that is found in the Lord of glory. And I stand today saying, thank God for love, and thank God for joy, but thank God for peace. Because when I'm all by myself, whether I'm driving or praying or studying, I'm all by myself, and I got trouble, and I got heartache, and I need direction, at the lowest point of the day, I can still say, I got peace. I said, I got peace. I feel the spirit of an almighty God, and whereby we can cry, Abba Father, Abba Father. Anybody today glad for the peace of the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Maybe you need more peace in your life today. I said, he's got an immeasurable supply. Hallelujah. It is the peace that is found in Jesus. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. If you're glad for peace this morning, come on and praise the Lord. Amen. Come on and worship him this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.